The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whose master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. Hey, did you remember that experiment when you were in elementary school and they had a glass of water and they would ask kids, "What do you think, half empty, half full?" And some of the kids would raise their hands and would say, "Oh, it's half full." And some of them would say, "It's half empty." And then after a while, you started to realize that there are people out in this world that actually think this way. They actually think that some things are empty and that some things are full. And so we call them the pessimists and we call them the optimists. And have you ever hung out with a pessimist? You go outside and you say, "Oh man, look at that beautiful sun," and they tell you, "Oh, it's so humid." Or you go outside and say, "Oh, this breeze is beautiful," and they say, "Oh, but it's just too hot." And you say to yourself, "Oh, I just had this delicious meal." The person, "I have a stomach." And you said, "Oh my Lord, when are you going to get it right? When are you going to act normal, man? Everything is not so bad." And so these people color the world because they start from a basic premise of pessimism. And I want to explore that theme because there are other people who are not, other people who are optimists, and they see the best things in things. Wherever you ask them, "What are you looking at?" they say, "Look at the beautiful flower. What's happening today? Oh, I just saw this little child and it made my heart just, you know, brim with joy." And so there's something very distinctive on the positions that people take. And in addition to that, there's some people that when you talk to them about the Bible, you ever know those people that say they know everything about the Bible? They know everything about it. Could be a work, an associate. It could be a family member. Whatever you say, they know. They say, "I know it's in the Bible. It's already there. I read it and I know it." And then when you think about it, what is it that they know? When you press them, they say, "There's two things in the Bible, and I know them already. One of them is those laws, and the fact that you're not following, you're doomed." And you say, "Well, what kind of conversation can I have with this person?" But there again, when you look at the readings of today, I can see where somebody might be a little pessimistic, because the sayings today is, "Get ready, he's coming, watch out for the kingdom. If the thief was going to break into the house, the owner of the house would have been there and he would not have let this happen." And so this is part of what's going on. But they had, if you look at the scriptures today, there's just a little caveat, because there's just a little phrase that's there. And it says, my little children, God wants to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. It's just one little thing there. What it does there, it changes the whole meaning of the text, because it brings a whole different orientation to what the Bible and what that text is trying to show us. What it really is trying to get us to see is that there's something positive about that reading, that when Jesus says to his disciples, the master will come and he will serve you and he will be happy because you have been ready, this is something for us to look at. This is something for us to orient ourselves. Make that the North Star of how we see the world. Rather than see things in a negative sense, why not see the positive sense? Because really, when you look at the scripture, there always is a positive part to the scripture. But a lot of people would prefer to see it in the negative. A lot of people would prefer to see it as God punishing and God ruling and God limiting people because of their shortcomings. But that's not the case, because as you read today, Jesus is saying, in a sense, God really, really, really wants to give you the kingdom. You know, God doesn't want us to live a life where we're lonely and angry and frustrated. God doesn't want us to live a life in which we're caught up with material goods, or we're caught up trying to prove ourselves, or always worried about income and always worried about our health. God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to be free of those things and to be able to engage those aspects of life that are deeper meaning and beautiful. Because once you do that, you begin to see things that are better. You know, if you look for things, you'll find them. You ever see people, again, pessimists, The pessimist will always find the negative, right? I really have trouble talking to people who are pessimists because after a while, I just figure, what's the point of talking to you? Everything I say, you're going to find a negative. But when you talk to somebody who is optimistic, who sees the good, that person opens your eyes. That person is exciting to share with. That person has an energy and an openness to life that really, really makes sense. And I think that that's the point that Jesus is trying to get his disciples to think about, and certainly us through this reading to be able to live out. Now, I say to myself, perhaps, it's hard to think that way. Certainly, we find living optimistically difficult because of all the things that we're involved in. I mean, the environment that we live in is saturated with negative messages. There's always competitiveness. There's always looking at the downside of people. Advertising always makes you try to feel insecure. They try to make you to buy goods because otherwise you're not up with everybody else. And so this constant putting down of who you are is all over in our environment. In addition, you have to prove yourself. Don't you have to prove yourself every day when you go to work? Every day when you go to work and you go to that office or you go to that factory or you go to that school class, you have to prove yourself. And you have to make yourself feel as though you're valuable and you're important and what you're doing is significant. And that takes a lot of energy to do that. And what it is, because the forces of putting you down are so great. But Jesus is telling us, you already have the answer, you already have the vision, you already have the way of being in the world that is going to make things better because you have to see the object of what he is suggesting. Now, it may sound like it's a punitive way when Jesus says, beware, be prepared, make sure that you do and follow the things. When you were younger, when you were in sports, didn't you have a coach who would tell you, come on, I expect more of you. Come on, give me a little bit more. Or if you're working in the gym, and I always hear this, give me one more. The guy's going to die, and give me one more, And he's just barely picking up the weight, But the coach makes him do it. He's telling him, you can do more. You can achieve more. And this is what the voice of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament particularly needs to be grasped at. We think that when we listen to God speaking to us, he's speaking in a punitive way. Either this or you're gonna pay the consequences. But God, if you listen in the right way, if you interpret the scripture in the optimistic way, what you hear is God saying, you can do better. I expect of you better. I know you're going to achieve it if you really put your heart into it. And you know what? All of this is for the good of that. All of this is in preparation for this. God gets us to be able to believe in ourselves. Because if God doesn't push us, who will? Didn't you have your teachers in your life that really pushed you when you were young? And you would go home and you would curse and kick and things and say, stupid teacher, God, you would, and you would go on saying those. But then when you graduated school, you said, this is the teacher that really brought out the best in me. This is the person that really helped me to achieve the goal that I am able to achieve. Because God's voice is one in which we can interpret pessimistically or optimistically. We can look at God's word as loving and encouraging and building and straightening us so that we begin to respect our own lives and our own responsibility and our own contribution to life. Or we can say that I'm not good enough and God is going to punish me. And what's the point of being religious or going to church? People give up. They give up because they don't know how to meet the challenge. But today, I think that the most important thing I want to share with you is that we need to regain an optimistic view. We need to be reminded that you're a child of God. We need to be reminded that the kingdom has been purchased for you. We have to be reminded that the battle between evil and good has been won. We have to be reminded that God wants the kingdom to give it to you. He wants you to have a full life, not be enslaved. He wants you to have a free life, not be caught up in all kinds of stupid things. He wants you to be free to enjoy and experience the life that he has given us. We need to be reminded of that, especially in these days where everything is adversarial, everything is so combative, everything is so competitive. We live in a world, unless if you're not number one, you're nothing. You get that feeling, right? You're nothing if you're not number one. And so why even bother? And the gospel is saying you are the best already. You just have to believe in being the best, and you have to struggle to become that because I am there waiting for you to achieve that. And God is one of encouragement. The whole scripture, when you read from Genesis to Revelation, all of that is trying to lift us up to become the better persons that we are. Not to put us down. God didn't create us to kick us around. God didn't create us to just manipulate us. God created us to live with us and grow with us and become with us and share the good things that he has for us. And that's a lesson we have to constantly remind ourselves of, that you are made for better things. You are made for greater things in your life. And only you decide to limit yourself if you shortchange yourself of God's promises. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, it's God's will to really, really, really give you the kingdom. I mean, where do you hear that? Do you hear that in the marketplace? Do you hear that in retail stores? Do you hear that in the market, you know, environment or Wall Street? God really, really wants to give you the kingdom? No, man. We live in a world where there are sharks everywhere you go. They try to rip you up and chew you down. But in the church, you have to take this message and live it and trust it and believe in it and give yourself over to that freedom that comes from knowing that God wants the best for you. Because that is at the heart of how you will see the world. That is at the heart of how you're going to perceive your experience. That is at the heart of how you're going to relate to other people. That is at the heart of how you're going to see yourself. You can see the clouds all you want. It doesn't mean it's there. But if you turn your eyes just for a moment, you might see the gleam of light that's trying to break through and give you a whole new perspective. Everything that the Bible speaks about is for our betterment. And it's so easy to criticize the Old Testament and say, God is so demanding and God is so cold. I think even Martian or some of the Old Testament new Christians would criticize the Old Testament and say, it's so cold, it's so punitive. But remember last week's reading from Hosea, how God said, my stomach turns within me, I lift you up before I'm like a child and I kiss you on your cheek. I led you out with the bands of love. This is a God that is throughout the whole Bible. And what we see now in Jesus is God's full immersion and presence in our own in reality to teach us that we can do it, to teach us that we can live our lives. Yet at the heart of our existence is an anxiety, because we know we're finite. We know we're subject to sickness. We know we're subject to death and all these things. And that terrorizes us. It terrorizes, but don't let it dominate you, because the truth of that is that you already have the fullness of life. That end that you fear is already purchased for us through Christ. That is the best gift you can have. It's a certainty. It's a guarantee, they say from the Bible, right? I mean, if you knew that everything was okay, how would you live your life? If you knew that no matter whatever pain you're going to confront or whatever shortcomings you're going to come against, everything is going to be okay, how would you live your life? How would you live your life? Would you look for different things? Would you seek wisdom? Would you open your heart to everybody because you knew that you were going to make it through somehow? What if you knew you were going to make it? How would that change your orientation to things and people? I think this is what the gospel gives us. It gives us the final end. It gives us the permission. It gives us the ground to live our lives. We're so afraid. We are afraid. We're afraid of people, and that causes us to be envious. That causes us to chatter about each other. That causes us to doubt things. That causes us not to be able to love. It causes us to be able to fear everything around us. And so we fight each other. We pull each other. We hone in on only a few people in our lives, and the rest of the people become our enemies. But if you love, oh God, if you love, if you really feel free to love, then the whole world is in relationship with you. Then the whole world is a gift for you. Then everybody is a possible partner in your life. I said it before, and I'll say it one more time. When you first fell in love, man, wasn't those trees green? Wasn't that ocean blue? Didn't she smell good? Man, everything was so nice because you were in love. Even the food tasted good. You know, it's because you see the world differently. Now, what's preventing you from doing that now? From seeing the beauty around you, from seeing the good nature of people that are in your lives, from being able to enjoy the things that you have instead of always looking for that negative, always looking for the shortcoming, always for the criticism. That gets you nowhere. It atrophies the soul. Atrophies the soul. When you become that way, you become little, you shrink, and you die. Was that dramatic? Okay. But the gospel message is good news. The evangel is good news. Buenas noticias for everyone. Because God came to liberate us from our own fears. God came to liberate us from our own shortcomings. God came to liberate us from all our doubt and give us permission and freedom to live and live into all that He expects and invites us to be. That's a gift. Will you leave out of here optimistic, please? Can you walk out of here feeling good about your life and about God in your life and about the love in your life and about all the good things you have? Can you really, really celebrate that? Because this is what Jesus wants us to do. Because once you have that, no one can tear you down. No one can tell you you're less than. No one can say that you haven't met the mark. Because then you become a very powerful force in your life. A witness to the gospel of God. A witness to the love of Jesus. A witness to the kingdom among us. This is what Jesus wants us to do. And this is where the power of His message and word will be realized. In us, through us, and in the world that we create. Amen.